All right, church, this morning I want to talk about Jesus. Surprise, surprise. I want to talk about Jesus and his character and really his identity. Last week we talked about God and we looked at who God is, the love that he has for us. And so this week I want to look at Jesus and the example that Jesus left for us, the example that Jesus left behind for us. So we're going to be in John 13, starting in verse 1. And it's Jesus washing his disciples' feet. So before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this earth and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during this ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything that had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you don't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands, wash my head as well, Lord, just not my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean, and you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him, that this was meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put his robe around him again, sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are no greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." I want to tell you this morning, church, that this is Jesus. This is his character. This is his example. This is his leadership style. This is who he is. Right before he's fixing to go to the cross, right before he's fixing to go and die for the sins of the world, he has supper and he serves. This is the biggest moment in Jesus' life, the reason that he was born, the reason that he came to this earth as a baby. He washes his disciples' feet. I want to preach this message from this thought that love knows no limit. Love knows no limit. We talked last week how God goes beyond limits and how God goes beyond covenants and beyond contracts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Our God goes beyond the limit, beyond the covenant, beyond the contract. And I want to talk about this thought that Jesus is in the likeness of his Father. Jesus is just like his Father. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you. And God, I pray right now, God, that it's nothing significant that I have to say in this message, God, but it's everything significant that you've done and that you're going to continue to do. God, we pray for protection over our church and over our church family. God, I pray right now that as people are sitting at home in their pajamas and watching this sermon, we may not feel like we're connected in community and church, but God, we are connected. You've called us to be together this morning. We love you and we thank you. It's in your name we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you this morning if you're an extrovert. Drop it in the comments. If you're an extrovert, if you do things loud, if you do things over the top, maybe you're outgoing. There's nothing about you that's simple. I'm a loud person, and I can't help it. I was born into a loud family. My parents are loud, and I'll be walking through the house and just make, you know, obnoxious loud noises. My boys do it too. I like to wear loud shoes. I have purple Kobe's. I have red shoes. I have blue shoes, and I'm wearing white shoes today. But what about gifts? Maybe it's how you give gifts. I like to give gifts. I, I I want to win at gift giving. Like if there was a prize for, you know, who could give the best gift, that I would want that prize. I buy Jess's gift normally, you know, a week in advance, and I come home and I'm so excited that I just give it to her at that moment. I don't even wrap it. I just hand it to her and I say happy birthday or happy anniversary because I'm over the top and I want to win at gift giving. I want to talk from this idea that Jesus is over the top. That nothing that Jesus did was ordinary. Everything that he did, nothing was normal. He loved over the top. He gave over the top. He served over the top. And he forgives over the top. He does not hold back. Jesus is over the top. I love this event in John 13. He knows that he's fixing to be crucified. He knows that he's fixing to be beaten and humiliated. He's fixing to be betrayed, that people are fixing to turn their back on him, that he's fixing to be mocked. But right before this happens, you see Jesus taking care of his people. You see Jesus taking care of his own. It says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. The first thing that I want you to write down is he takes care of his own. Jesus takes care of his own. Jesus is generous. He's caring. He's thoughtful. He's compassionate. It's who he is. It's his character. He can't help it. Jesus is concerned with the world, bringing people to him, prodigals that have walked away and people that have turned their back on him. He's concerned about people. He loves the people that he's created. But church, I also want to tell you that he's concerned with his church and believers, and he wants to take care of us. He's concerned for our well-being, and he's concerned for our thoughts. He's concerned for his people. You could be sitting at home right now thinking, man, I'm not really a Christian. You could be sitting at home and thinking, man, I'm not really a Jesus guy. I don't really get down with Jesus and his whole, I have struggles, you know, and I have sin. There's things in my life. I don't really get down with Jesus. I want to tell you that long before you believed in God, you belong to God. Long before you believed in this man named Jesus Christ, you belong to him. He's not waiting for you to come to church and say, bam, like now all of a sudden I'm going to bless you, and now all of a sudden I'm going to take care of you. That's not who he is. Jesus loves us while we are still broken, while we are still in sin, while we are still struggling. Jesus is over the top in love with you. He doesn't know how to stop loving you. So some of you need to know and need to realize this morning that you are a son and you are a daughter of Jesus Christ. As a father, I want to take care of my wife. As a father, I want to take care of my sons. It said, Jesus, having loved his very own, I want to ask you this morning if you know how precious you are to Jesus. If you know how precious you are to Jesus, you belong to Jesus. You are a citizen of a greater place. You are his. You are his son, and you are his daughter, and he will take care of you. He will see you through. He's concerned about your thoughts. He's concerned about your well-being. He knows what's going on in your life, and he is right there. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. One of the things that I love most about Jesus is he takes our worst, and he gives us his best. He takes our worst, the things that we struggle with, and he replaces it with his best. That's Jesus. That's who he is. That's his identity. It's his character. He's headed to the end of his life. Jesus is headed to the end of his life, and he serves all the way to the finish line. All the way to the end, Jesus serves. He gives of himself. This is Jesus, man. He loves you. The Bible says he begun a good work will be faithful to complete it. He loves you. I love Jesus. I wish that I could just go back and sit and talk with him. He finishes his Chick-fil-A supper. He's done with his Chick-fil-A supper. He gets the Chick-fil-A sauce and he stores it back because he wants to save it, because you don't waste that stuff. And he gets his towel And he pours water into a basin. This is crazy to think about because he's fixing to pour out his blood for all of humanity. He pours water into a basin and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. It's unbelievable to think about. Right before he's fixing to be crucified and betrayed and mocked, he serves others. And it got me thinking this week, why does Jesus do things like this? Why does Jesus do things like this that are so wild and so over the top and so out of the ordinary? And the next thing that I wrote down is because he lives to give. Jesus lives to give. It's his passion. It's his hobby. It's what he likes to do. It's his character. He lives to give for you and I. That's who he is. He lives to give. That's why he would say things like, I have food that you do not know of. He lives to give. It's why Jesus came. And I want to tell you this morning, you're not really living unless if you're giving. Unless if you're giving of yourself, you're not really living. Not really living a life unless if you're giving. Giving of your time, giving of your money, giving of your talents, giving of your gifts. We have to live to give. Jesus, he didn't live 33 years helping and serving and giving and healing and raising people from the dead and preaching and talking in parables to die and to go to heaven and get there and say, man, I could have had a bigger house. He didn't get to heaven and say, man, I should have put the pool in. He didn't get to heaven and say, man, that donkey that I rode, I could have put some rims on it and put some fresh paint on it. That's not who he didn't have any regrets. Jesus had no regrets, church. Why? Because he spent his entire life giving, his entire life loving people and serving people and helping people. He lived to give up until the very last moment. He lives to give. It's who he is, church. He gets down on his hands and he gets down on his knees and he's right there with his disciples, the people that have seen him be the most intimate with him and that have come up and gathered around him and he would talk to them and talk to them in parables and nobody tells Jesus to do stuff like this. It's just who he is. Judas is sitting there. Fixing to betray him and he washes his feet anyway. He lives to give. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life for a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. He came to serve us, not to be served, but he came to serve us. He came to give his life. I was thinking this week and I was praying this week, and I really think the mindset that God wants us to have, the mindset that Jesus had, there's this verse in Philippians 2, in verse 5, and I think that this verse can really set some people free. This is in the Message translation. It says, think of yourselves the way Jesus Christ thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave and became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then he died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. This is Jesus, church. He came to serve. He came to love. You may know people that maybe they live to shop, or maybe people live to work out, or maybe people live to travel. Jesus lived so he could give. Give of himself. He gets on his hands and knees and he's going to wash the disciples' feet. He gets down and we don't know if it was Peter that was first in line, but John, he highlights this event. He highlights this conversation between Peter and between Jesus. And all these dudes are sitting there. And Peter, he says, Jesus, are you going to wash my feet? No, Jesus, I can't let you do that. You can't wash my feet. My feet are stinky. My feet are dirty. My feet, I've been walking on my feet. They're sweaty. You're God, and I can't let you do that. That's supposed to be for the slaves. That's supposed to be the lowest of the low. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, Peter, unless if you let me do this, you'll have no part of me. Unless if you let me serve you, you have to allow me to serve you. You have to allow me to love you. The next thing that I wrote down, church, is you have to receive it. You have to receive it. You have to receive grace. You have to receive love. You have to receive forgiveness in order to be a part of his kingdom. In order to be a part of what God's doing, you have to receive. Jesus is sitting there and he's at the feet of his disciples and he's saying, unless if you let me do this, you can't run with me. Unless if you let me wash your feet, man, you can't be with me. You have to allow me to serve you. This is all about me serving you. Even if you feel like your feet are ashamed, even if you feel like your feet are dirty, even if you feel like you have sin, or you have issues, or you're struggling, or you have anger, or you have addictions, you have things going on in your life, Jesus is saying, put your feet right here. Jesus is saying, let me wash your feet and make them white as snow. Give me your feet. That's what Jesus is telling us, church. Let me have your feet. He wants to serve us. He wants to wash us. He wants to make us new. Jesus, he's so gracious. He's so over the top. He does things that nobody has ever done before. I was sitting with some people a while back, and we were having this conversation. And the conversation came up, the hardest thing about being a Christian. What was the hardest thing about being a Christian? And one person said it's the expectations of being a Christian. It's the expectations of being a leader. The expectations of living a Christian life. And another person said it's the expectations that I have on myself of not being a hypocrite. And they asked me, and I didn't have an answer. I didn't know then. I didn't know what to tell them. The hardest thing about being a Christian, but I think I know now. I think I struggle at receiving sometimes. If somebody were to give me a gift, I want to give a gift in return. It's hard for me to receive. I think it's the same sometimes in our Christian life. We feel like we have to earn grace. We feel like we have to earn forgiveness. The hardest thing is receiving God's love when we don't feel lovable. The hardest thing is receiving grace from God when we feel like we don't deserve it. When we feel like we're not walking with Jesus, receiving forgiveness because God wants to overwhelm you with forgiveness. He wants to be right there. But sometimes the devil is whispering in our ear. He's saying that you're awful. I know what you struggle with. I know the things that are standing in your way. And he's whispering in your ear. But Jesus, he comes and he says, I wash your feet. Jesus comes to us and he says, I wash your soul. Jesus, he comes to us and he says, I'll cleanse your heart and I'll renew your mind. That's our Jesus. That's who he is. We have to receive from heaven, church. We have to receive from heaven. Jesus wants to love you. He wants to lavish you with love. It's not about earning our way into heaven. It's not about receiving anything that we feel like. It's about receiving from Jesus. Receiving from heaven. He wants to love you from your head to your toes. He wants to lavish you with love. He's telling us today, church, that he's the great I am, that he's the Prince of Peace. He's telling us that he's the Lord of Lords, that he's the servant of all. But then there's Peter, and he's saying, no, you can't wash my feet. And Jesus is saying, yes, I have to wash your feet, Peter. I need to wash your feet. I need to serve you. And what are you supposed to do? Are you going to argue with Jesus? Are you going to argue with this God man named Jesus? He goes down the row and he washes his disciples' feet one by one. And he puts the towel back. And he tells them, he says, if I'm the teacher, if I'm Lord and I'm the teacher, I'm the Messiah, this is the example that I leave for you. If I'm the God of the entire universe, this is the example that I set for you. Think about what Jesus is saying, because he does everything on purpose. Everything that he does has a purpose to it. He says, this is your example. The same way that I have served you, now I want you to go serve others. The same way that I have loved you, I want you to go love others. The last thing that I wrote down is he set the standard. He set the example. He set the standard for us. And now it's up to us to live up to that standard. This is required of you, church, to serve people and love people right where they're at. He's saying to us today, I have loved you. And now it's your turn to go love others right where they're at. He says things so crazy while he's here on this earth. Be holy because I am holy. And he says, freely you have received and freely you should give. Jesus, he set the standard for us. He calls us to pour out our lives. He calls us to give. He calls us to be him to other people, to love other people. He calls us to wash some feet. He calls us to love some people. Don't hold on to what you have. Don't feel like I need to hold on to what I have, what I've got. He's telling us, church, to give of your talent. He's telling us to give of your grace. Give forgiveness. Serve people. Love them right where they're at. Give away of your time. God will use it for his glory. He's calling us to be a people that love and serve one another. That's what he's calling us to do, to be his church, to be his people, to love without limit. Amen? Amen. Father, Lord, this morning, we love you and we thank you. And God, I pray for every person this morning, right where they're at, right where they're sitting in their living room. Or maybe somebody is sitting and watching on their phone right now at work. God, I pray this morning for our families, for our extended family of NACNASA, for anybody tuning in this morning. I pray that they know, that we know, that we're supposed to be a people that serve. That we're supposed to be a people that live to give. Because God loved us so much that now he calls us to give. God, this morning, I pray for our families. I pray for our children and our youth and our college. God, this morning, I pray for our nurses and our first responders and anybody working in a medical profession. God, I pray that you will protect them this morning. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that your will be done in our lives. That we know that we're supposed to walk out a life that we give. That we wash some feet. That we forgive. Because, Lord, our lives depend on it. Lord, we love you this morning. And we thank you. We ask all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.